Hey, it's the Owl 360 podcast coming back for the fourth season. In this episode, we're going to talk about the start of school, Owl Tech, and building projects. With us on the podcast are Mr. Harp. Hello, Mr. Harp.
Hey, good morning and welcome back, Mr. Hubbard.
Thank you. Thank you. And Mrs. Ferguson. Hey, Mrs. Ferguson.
Hello. And I tell you what, I cannot believe 4 years. 4 years. Yeah. Seems like we just started.
And pretty soon we'll be in reruns.
No. I know.
You can access any of our podcasts on iTunes or any of the platforms you would like to hear them from past seasons. All right. So I feel like, you guys, it's back to deja vu all over again. It was a start of the school. Again, we're still dealing with COVID. And so, Mr. Harper, I want to congratulate the whole team, administrative team, and the school board for a successful start of school. If you could give us just a play-by-play of how everything's going.
Yeah, we talked quite a bit. We've been in school a little over a month now, and it has been one of the smoothest starts of school we can ever remember. As we go around schools into classrooms, there's a lot of happy faces, a lot of people who are just appreciative to be back after the way last year, really the last year and a half, have gone. You take COVID out of the equation, and it's probably an unprecedented start to school. But overall, we're really happy with how things are going.
Well, I know there's a lot going on. There's some building projects going on, and we were going to have Mr. Reisner on. We'll have to catch him up later in a different podcast episode, but maybe we could fill in a little bit about that. But as far as the start of school, Mr. Harp, masks, has that been an issue, or what's going on with the mask and as far as keeping everybody safe?
Yes. So on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, that'd be September 14th, the school board passed a new COVID mitigation plan, which does require us to wear masks when the county is under an orange or red designation for COVID spread. And this is based on, we got new guidance on September 7th from the State Department of Health that said if students are wearing masks, as long as they are asymptomatic for COVID, they do not have to quarantine. And that's really huge news for us. We've had a high of 334 students at one time quarantined, and we've had staff in the double digits as well. So really, you know, the idea of masking is very polarizing and political, and people go both ways on it. Our stance has really very little to do with the mask. We don't feel like it is our job to tell you whether a mask works or not. What we feel like we're qualified to do is interpret that guidance that we get from the state, keep kids in school where the data is very clear that they learn the best and they are in the safest environment. And that is our goal. It's beyond the mask. That's for the health professionals to decide. It is a tool and a strategy for us to keep kids in school where we want them and we need them and they want to be. And so that will fully take effect on Monday the 20th. We're using the rest of this week since the board meeting to message and communicate and counsel our people and get everybody up to speed.
Now, Mr. Harper, will that be like all students are required to wear a mask unless there's some sort of health issue, or what exactly is that guidance going to be for those parents and students who may be listening?
Sure. This is for in the classroom setting inside of our buildings for all students, staff, and visitors when they are in our buildings during the school day. They will be required to wear a mask. Now, there will be times in certain classes with smaller numbers or larger rooms or so forth where they can get beyond 6 feet and they can potentially take some masking breaks and those sort of things. But we'll be handling that on a case-by-case basis. But again, the main thing is to follow that guidance from the health department and keep people in school. And I'm talking about students and staff. We've had a tough time this year filling our teacher absences with substitute teachers. We had a fill rate of 35% yesterday. So keeping our teachers in school is it's just imperative to the education of our kids too.
Well, and it isn't like something that the school board or the school decided. This is guidance from the governor. This is guidance from the health department. And it's just keeping the schools open. I know there's been some districts around us that have already had to close for 2 weeks.
Yeah, great point. And we have not, you know, last school year we had the 1 week where we went virtual for the entire week, and that was all based on we had over 90 staff members out at one time on quarantine. We did go hybrid at the secondary level for a good chunk of the year. It wasn't great, wasn't well received. I mean, our teachers did an excellent job, but it is just not like having those kids there live and in person. So that is our goal, is to keep the buildings open, keep our students and staff there in person where we know that that school works the best.
Right, and we want our kids in school, plain and simple. I mean, and as you said earlier, the kids want to be in school. You know, students I've talked to have just like, all right, are we going to, you know, this is before the school year started. They were like, are we okay to go? Are we going to go? I can't wait to get there. So it's the benefit of all. Yeah.
We actually, Troy, we had several speakers at the board meeting, and I will say that all 10 speakers did an excellent job. They were well-spoken, presented their case, very civil on both sides of the debate. We actually had a high school student show up and that was her message, is that I want a school year where we're fully in person. I don't want to be on virtual, and we believe the best pathway is to wear masks and follow this guidance. And that was I was surprised to see a high school student show up, and she was great. I think she had an impact on our board and our administration. But that's the feedback we're getting. I've even had some emails and stuff about for some people who essentially say, you know, I really don't like masking, but I agree with you. We need to keep kids in school. So I think our message is getting out, and they understand that's our goal, is to get to that point.
And, you know, there's for 2 years now, the juniors and seniors especially, but everybody has suffered, but the juniors and seniors haven't had been very limited in what they're able to do. I know my own son last year, you know, their prom was very, you know, just stuff that the kids have missed out, not only the learning, but also the social aspect of it, which I think is very important too. So, you know, it's what we have to do. Let's just take care of it. Now, Mr. Harp, as far as some of the schools, have you seen anything exciting going on as you've made your rounds?
Oh, yeah, there's all kinds of stuff going on. And since Mr. Reeser's not here, I want to give him a formal introduction. He was hired as our assistant superintendent of operations over the summer. And so, you know, a lot of the operational type things, busing, facilities and grounds, safety, food services, those sort of things are falling under his umbrella. And of course, Mrs. Ferguson, she's more focused on the education side of things with curriculum, instruction, and academics. They work together on a lot of things, so it's not like they can never leave their lane, but those are their specialties, and it's going really well. So we're happy to have Talmadge on board, and he was replaced at the high school by Mr. Bush, the former principal of Reading, and Mr. Floyd replaced Mr. Bush as the new principal. And Ashley Stahl is the new assistant principal over there. So we have had some shuffling around in the administrative ranks, and they've all been, I think, very positive moves for our corporation.
Well, you know, Mr. Reisner, though, he certainly knows the ins and outs. He started out, if I'm not mistaken, as a principal at Emerson, or was he a teacher beforehand? So he's been involved in all aspects of it.
Yeah, he was a teacher in another district, and he moved to Seymour in the early 2000s as the principal at Emerson. And then he was the assistant principal at the high school. So he's uniquely qualified in terms of he's seen the corporation from a lot of different angles. And that's sort of how Mrs. Ferguson and I are, too. We've had several different positions, different levels, and so forth in the corporation. So I'm really fortunate and blessed to have Lisa and Talmadge on my team. We have collectively a lot of experiences that we're able to draw on. And, you know, more importantly than that, we have a lot of relationships with people in our district, so we know who to talk to when we need clarification and so forth on different things.
Mrs. Ferguson, Mr. Harp, since Mr. Reisner is not here, building projects, can you give us a quick status update on those?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. Also, at the board meeting on Tuesday, the board awarded bids for the projects at the sixth grade center, that it's being converted to an intermediate building. And then for our Ag Science Center, there's a good chunk of change being spent out there to expand our programming the Ag Center, expand the ag program, but also to include precision machining and industrial automation. We're really excited about those programs coming. And we had we spent quite a bit of time over the past year with CEOs from Cummins and Eisen and Excel and other big industries around, and really got their feedback on what programs we should add, because we're trying to increase the value of a Seymour High School diploma, and we think we're doing that. Mm-hmm. We believe that we have a whole group of kids who are college prep, and we have kids going to the military, but we have this other group of students who are employable when they walk out the doors of Seymour High School, and we're continuing to add pathways for that group of students. And, you know, we do have a workforce shortage in our county and in our city, and we're doing everything we can to help connect those students who are looking for employment with those employers who are looking for employees.
Well, you know, from the guidance of the administration, you guys and the board, it's exciting because these students, let's say it's welding or it's tool and die, they could come out with that diploma ready to hit the ground running. And there's Prosser, and then Columbus offers a tech kind of program. I've forgotten the name of that, you guys. What are the?
It's the C4 program at Columbus. Yeah. And we do still send 50 to 60 students still go to Columbus. It's an important program for us. We have smaller things like cosmetology. They offer a cosmetology program where we don't have a huge number of students, so we don't offer it on our own, but we're able to send students there for a partnership. We will always have some kind of partnership there for those smaller singleton type pathways that our students are looking for. But if you think about all these pathways that we are adding and have added at Seymour, it's 45 minutes by bus each way to C4. So we're getting about 90 more minutes of instruction for those students by being able to host it ourselves. And then we have our own partnerships. We have, I believe, the number 17. We have 17 welders from Brownstown who come over every other day and take part of that programming. Now, how we do it is we fill the seats with Seymour students first, and then when we have open seats, we go to other school partners. And really, the CEOs love that. They love that we're focused on educating the county, you know, not just our Seymour students. And so I think that's a really good program too.
Well, kudos to you guys though for establishing those relationships with the CEOs of some of the bigger companies and going to them and saying, hey, what are you needed in the workforce? You know, and we're able to provide that education. It's exciting. It really is. Mrs. Ferguson, you've been awful quiet over there. Better wake you up. Hey, Mrs. Ferguson, can we talk a little bit about Altec, the new online portion of Seymour Community Schools?
Yeah, this year, online instruction takes a bit of a different form. If you remember when Mr. Harp was talking about when we were on hybrid or we were in the throes of the pandemic, each one of our classrooms was running an online program. What we've done is we have established Altec. This is a building year for us. Altec did not exist before this year. We have dedicated some staff to work with students online. It is a program within Seymour Community Schools, and it provides service to students in K through 12. We have a team that works with our K-8, and we have a team that works with our 9 through 12. This is a standalone program, and it is not fully synchronous with our classrooms throughout our district. So it's not the type of program where in our past experience, how we dealt with online, students could pop in, pop out, one day you're online, the next day you're not. That's not how this program works. There is an application process. Our lead administrator for this program is Sean Mahoney, our lead teacher who works with families to find out, you know, if it is the right choice for their child, is Kathy Beavers. And that team for K-8 is located at Walnut Street, the Walnut Street Annex, and our team for 9 through 12 They're located at Seymour High School, and there our administrative contact is Steve Bush, and our lead individual is a counselor. It is Caitlin Udy. So we have folks that joined Altec this year, and I think we're somewhere around 43 students in K through 12. It is only Seymour students. We're hoping in this building year that next year would be a year that we would open our program to any student in a surrounding community or our county, or for that fact, the world could join Seymour schools through Altec.
So I think maybe that may be a future podcast where we meet the team and talk mm-hmm. about the team of the Altec building. And mm-hmm. I know you've got some great leaders there and some great teachers are involved. I have to say that my wife is one of them. If I didn't, I'd be in trouble, you guys.
That's right.
But also now future podcasts, I know we've kept you guys on here for a long time, but future podcasts, we want to look at UDLs. Would you explain, Mr. Ferguson, real fast to our listeners what a UDL is?
Well, one thing that Seymour Community Schools does is we are not only thinking about today, but we're thinking about the future. And part of our future planning includes a strategic plan. That strategic plan this year has three components, and it just so happens that between Mr. Harp, Mr. Reisner, and myself, we each have a leg of the strategic plan. The strategic plan that aisle or the lane that I'm working on has to do with increasing access to educational pathways for all. So one of the strategies or the tactics that we're going to work on this year is UDL, and that's Universal Design for Learning. And every one of our podcasts, we will have an accompanying UDL specific type of informational piece so that you can not only listen to our regular podcast, but you can pick up, and in the past we've called those little pellets, you can pick up a little pellet on UDL.
An owl pellet.
Yeah, that's right. To learn what we're doing, how we're working to make sure that all students have the greatest opportunity to take advantage of education in Seymour Community Schools.
And that will be not just for teachers, it'll also be for parents to inform them and, you know, and our kids, students and teachers. So I think it's amazing. It's going to be amazing. Now, Mr. Harp, what is your, as far as the three components, what's your lane that you're driving in there?
Yes, mine is essentially people, stakeholders. Obviously, we're talking about students, staff, and community. And, you know, one of the big things that we're going to be working on through that one is our communication. We get a lot of times we get questions because what we do is so complex. Yeah. Just like finance, educational finance is a very, very complex system. It takes an entire department to keep it going. And so that's one of our goals is we're going to communicate with our staff and our community, and we're going to teach them the basics of how education finance works and how it affects your taxes and budgeting and things like that. You know, and you can apply it to any department we have. We want to teach our community more about how our transportation system works, you know, how our nursing program works, just different things like that. So communication is going to be a big part of that. And then, you know, last few years, Mrs. Ferguson's group worked really hard on the marketing and branding of our corporation. We're just looking for ways to continue to tell our story, because it's just like how we started talking about our CTE programming and those, you know, all those things that we've done with CEOs to provide opportunities for students. We need to get that word out there. We're very proud of that. And there's some great things going on at Seymour that we want to make sure people know. So it's a lot of communication, a lot of bringing people together, and just a focus on people.
And Mr. Reisner's part is going to be more of the what's under his umbrella, the projects, that kind of thing in the component.
Yeah, operations, and more specifically systems within operations. How can we make things more efficient? How can we make our operations more cost effective? How can we become more of a green school, to be honest with you? You know, How can we decrease our carbon footprint and save on our bills and just do our part and those sort of things?
Yeah. And since he's not here, let's go ahead and put him in charge of all these. he'll get me for saying that. I can tell already.
We like to give him extra things to do. So that's, yeah, that's no problem.
But you, I just want to say congratulations to all the teachers and a big thank you to teachers, parents, and staff and you at the administrative level. It's just, it's an exciting time. Like Yogi Berra said, the catcher for the New York, it's deja vu all over again as far as the pandemic, but it sounds like we're doing a great job and we're hitting the ground running.
Yeah, and Yogi also said, if you come to a fork in the road, take it. And that's the approach we're taking here.
Okay, us baseball guys, we need to keep our references to a minimum here. But
yeah,
well, anything in closing you'd like to touch upon?
I would just like to close with, I know the masking is not popular with some, and we just appreciate the civility that we've seen in Seymour and working together, and we're just going to get through it. And we go back to yellow or blue, masks will become optional at that point. So I think there's incentive there for us all to work together, get our community conditions back on the right track and head back that direction.
Ms. Ferguson?
No, just looking forward to a great continuing effort to serve the students and the community of Seymour. I've had the opportunity to be out in a lot of classrooms, and there are a lot of exciting things going on. I know the Tribune is going to do an article. You can look for it. It's called Through the Ages, and we're going to focus on our programs that you always hear, well, they should bring back home ec, or, you know, why don't they do shop? We still do all of those things. They have just grown, changed, developed to meet up with what the workforce is asking for. So look for that article to feature our FACS, our Family Consumer Science Program, our construction, our ag program, and welding. So lots of great things going on.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention 2 weeks ago the Seymour Owls knocked off Columbus East in football.
Yes.
15-year unbeaten run in the Hoosier Hills Conference for Columbus East, and the Owls did it. And the very next day, our volleyball team went north and beat number 4 Carmel. Soccer and tennis are having a great year, and they're beginning work on the musical at the high school. There are a lot of great opportunities for people to come out and support our kids. We're having a lot of fun right now.
Oh, yeah, and we encourage parents, if there's a topic you would like discussed on the Owl 360 podcast, to email Mr. Harp or Mrs. Ferguson or whoever you want to get in touch with. If there's something you're curious about, look for upcoming Owl 360 podcasts on Owltech, UDLs, highlighting teachers and students. So I just want to thank you all for being here with us. And, remember, we are soaring to excellence.
Everyone, every day.